Everything slid back into place after that. Things went back to normal. Except that they didn't. It was like Matt was a puzzle piece, and he had been locked back into place, but it was with a different puzzle made from the same die cut. He went back to work, helping the needy, and occasionally taking a client that could pay with actual money. He went back out at night, more cautious this time, but there was a feeling in his gut that something had changed, that he was tilted slightly off-center. But Matt couldn't place his finger on it, so he pushed it aside. Matt was embarrassed every time he ran into Karen at the office. He vaguely remembered her coming over to Frank's and his reaction, but Karen never said a word about it, and didn't bring it up at all. Foggy knew he had gone into an unexpected heat. Karen had informed him, apparently. Matt was gone from the office for 3 days after all, and ribbed him a little for it, but had no idea he spent it with anyone, let alone who he did spend it with. Matt winced. Foggy would blow a gasket if he found out. He knew that Matt occasionally teamed up with Frank, and grudgingly accepted it. "Hey, at least I know someone has your back sometimes when you go out." But this was something different. Foggy had always held somewhat of a dislike for what he termed Matt's disaster dumpster fire list of exes. And yeah, sure, Alexia had tried to get Matt to kill someone, and maybe Frank had too, but that didn't mean Matt had a type. Frank was convenient, someone he could trust at a vulnerable time, and one shared heat did not constitute a relationship. Matt could deal with this unexpected one-night stand with maturity. He definitely wasn't avoiding the other man. Matt hadn't seen Frank since his unexpected heat almost a month ago now. Frank's work had kept him out of Matt's path, which he was incredibly grateful for. He could deal with this. It wouldn't change anything about their dynamic. Matt was just glad to have a breather. Time to process things. But it seemed like tonight was going to cut that break short. Matt was perched on a building across from a warehouse on the dock, listening in on what was going to be the biggest arms deal of the last 2 months. He could scent Frank on the wind, a wisp of wood decaying with that sharp scent of metal, and he inhaled to get more of it. He shook his head and focused back in on the warehouse. There were 21 of them, so help wouldn't be unwelcome. He sat back and waited for Frank to catch up. It didn't take long.
"Hey, you red,"
Frank said. If Frank was feeling awkward from their last encounter, he didn't show it. His heartbeat was as steady as ever.
"What's the intel?"
"Arms deal between the Kitchen Irish and the Russians. There are at least 21 of them in there," Matt rattled off. "You got your night vision goggles?"
"Course. What am I, an amateur?"
Frank scoffed. His annoyed tone brought a small smile to Matt's face. "I'll take out the lights and come from above. You come in the front door while they're distracted," Matt finished. Frank grunted in acknowledgement, and Matt leapt to some scaffolding next to the building they were on and made his way closer to the warehouse. When he hit the ground behind the building, Matt's mouth split into a fierce grin as the adrenaline started to really hit, his heartbeat picking up with it. He found the breakers and slammed his billy club into it. His grin became feral as he heard the voices inside the building pick up in a panic. Matt quickly scrambled up the side of the building and made it to the skylight. He crouched to the side of it and sent his billy club flying into the glass. He reeled it back in from the extendable line and paused for a moment at the rain of gunfire. Then, as soon as he heard the guns click empty, he jumped, the air whooshing past his face in an exhilarating rush. He flipped midair, and Matt had to stifle a laugh as he heard a faint,
"Show off,"
from Frank. It went like clockwork. Matt, the second hand, springboarding from one goon to the next, taking them out one by one, never stopping for a breath. Frank, the minute hand, his gunfire as steady as his heartbeat. But just like everything else in his life at the moment, the clock ran a second too slow. Frank put his gun in its holster, assuming that everyone was down. And they were. Until suddenly, they weren't. Halfway across the room from Matt, there was a shuffling, and the cock of a bullet entering a chamber. The gun aimed at Frank, and the man didn't even know it. Matt's heart rocketed, and he moved. He pushed his body to the limit as he ran full tilt towards the remaining man. When he realized he wouldn't make it, he took a short, sharp inhale and sent his billy club flying. It hit the gun just as it fired, and Matt froze for a second, the hand of the clock faltering, stuck between a tick and a tock, stuck between moving forwards to finish the job, or back towards Frank. But the sharp shit that left Frank's mouth made Matt decide. He raced forward as he pulled his billy club back to his waiting fist. He propelled himself into the arms dealer, all of his momentum traveling into his outstretched fist. The billy club connected with the man's arm with a sickening crunch. Matt hardly even registered the man's pained scream. He pulled his fist back and hit him again, and then again. He was lost in a rushing tide of anger, and it dragged him out to a sea churning with winds of fury. And Matt let it take him away. Every beat of his heart pushed blood rushing through his body. He could hear it in his ears, and with every pump he heard "protect" and "mine" in a circling rush, to the point that all that mattered was making the threat bleed until it wasn't a threat anymore, until it couldn't be a threat anymore. A hand grabbed his. Matt growled and pulled away, trying to get free. The threat was still there. A hand snaked around his waist and pulled Matt's back flush against someone's front. Then it hit him, the scent of humus and metal. He took a shuddering breath and went limp. Matt stayed there for a moment, gathered himself, then stepped away. He realized Frank was talking, had been talking for a while, but it was only now registering.
"Jesus, Red, you could have killed him."
It should have sent a jolt of dread through him, but instead it was vicious satisfaction. "The threat has been dealt with," his lizard brain whispered. Then, like lightning, realization shot through his body. Frank almost died. Red didn't seem to be hearing anything coming out of Frank's mouth. His limp body just leaning back against Frank and letting him carry all the other man's weight. So Frank kept talking. He didn't know what the fuck was going on with Red, but it was clearly something. The man on the ground was out, and he would be lucky to use his arm ever again. Frank thought he would live. Thought being the key word there. He wanted to get Red out of there. Something must have finally gotten through to him, because Red jerked back and spun around. Frank reached out, ready to grab the man if he went berserk again, but instead he turned towards Frank and reached out as if to touch. And Frank realized that the man's hands were shaking. Red moved forward and ran his hands down Frank's arms, so gently it struck something deep inside Frank's core, and it hurt.
"I'm fine, Red,"
Frank said, but Red ignored him. He continued to run his hands down Frank's arm to his torso. Frank winced as Red skimmed the blooming bruise over his ribs. One of the fuckers had gotten in a lucky kick. They were probably cracked. Red's lips curled, and another one of those growls echoed around the room. High and thready, but coming from the man in the devil costume made it a little more intimidating.
"It's just a bruise. I'm fine,"
Frank reiterated, taking Red's hands in his own and moving them away from his side. Silence rang between them for a few minutes as Red worked his jaw, his fist clenched tightly under Frank's hands. Frank let the silence stand. He was good with silences. It was words he had trouble with. Finally, Red suggested, "Come back to my place and let me patch you up." Frank huffed and said,
"I'm fine, Red,"
and prepared for a poke to his ribs, the way Red usually proved his point when Frank was more hurt than Red deemed acceptable. But it didn't come. Instead, Red looked towards him and said, "You could have died." His voice was soft and thready, real emotion behind it. And Jesus, this was a complication, wasn't it?
"Okay, Red, let's go,"
Frank agreed, and followed him out of the warehouse. He only did it because it was the path of least resistance. If Red's reaction was because of leftover hormones or territorial shit from Red's heat, Frank would go with it. It wasn't because Frank was worried about the other man. And it definitely wasn't because Frank's skin still tingled at the thought of having Red touch him again. Frank was quiet the whole time Matt looked at his ribs. Matt imagined the area was a spectacular splash of blues and purples from the heat he could feel radiating from the area. Frank jumped when he pushed on his ribs a bit. "Sorry," Matt apologized, and for once he really, truly felt it, caring that Frank was in any more pain than he had to be. Matt didn't know what was happening. Logically, He knew fractured ribs were nothing. Frank went out with them all the time. Hell, Matt went out with them all the time. He shouldn't be like this over them. Now that the white-hot fury had left him, that the forge had gone cold, Matt felt clingy, like Frank was a magnet pulling at the strings of Matt's heart. He softened his touch as he rubbed CBD cream into the bruise. He put a sterile bandage over it and leaned back. "All done," Matt said, with a smile that fell flat. He felt out of control, his emotions vacillating between rage, fear, and a disgusting neediness that Matt wanted to shoot and bury in the backyard. And it all centered around Frank, probably because of the stupid fucking heat he had spent with him. Frank stood and said,
"Thanks, Fred."
He paused for half a second, like he wanted to say something more, but then moved towards the roof access. Something in Matt demanded that he keep Frank here, an easy reach of Matt's radar sense where he could keep him near, could keep him safe. "Where he can keep you safe," a small voice in the back of Matt's head said. That was the deciding factor. Matt turned his back on Frank and pretended not to pay attention as the other man left. The echo of the door closing almost hurt. Matt ached, but he was used to that. People left. It was what they did. And Matt survived in spite of it. It was better to keep Frank at a distance, to sever that tie before it clung to him so tightly that when it was cut loose it left scars. Matt had enough of those already. He laid in bed for a long time trying to sleep, but it wouldn't come. And when it finally did, if it was because he had taken Frank's old shirt from the laundry bin and put it under his pillow, no one had to know.